And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today is Earth Day, April 22nd. And my system is decided to go on strike, which is never a good thing when you're trying to do a radio show. There we go. It's the 112th day of the year. 253 days remembers Pupinius and Balbinus to the throne. 1500, Portuguese navigator Pedro Álvares Cabral lands in Brazil. 1519, Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes establishes a settlement at Veracruz, Mexico. 1529, the Treaty of Zaragoza divides the eastern hemisphere between Spain and Portugal along a line 297.5 leagues east of the Moluccas. That's 780 miles, don't you know? 1809, the second day of the Battle of Eckmühl, the Austrian army is defeated by the First French Empire army led by Napoleon and driven over the Danube in Regensburg. 1836, Texas Revolution. Day after the Battle of San Jacinto, forces under Texas General Sam Houston identify Mexican General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna among the captives of the battle when some of his fellow soldiers mistakenly give away his identity. That's never a good thing when the enemy knows who you are. 1864, the Congress passes the Coinage Act of 1864 that permitted the inscription of In God We Trust to be placed on all the coins minted as U.S. United States currency. 1876, the first National League baseball game is played at Jefferson Street Grounds in Philadelphia. 1889, at noon on this date, thousands rush to claim land in the land rush of 1889. Within hours, the city of Oklahoma City and Guthrie are formed with populations of at least 10,000. 1898, Spanish-American War. President McKinley calls for 125,000 volunteers to join the National Guard and fight in Cuba, where Congress more than doubles regular army forces to 65,000. 1906. The 1906 Intercalculated Games, not recognized as part of the official Olympic Games, opens in Athens. 1915, World War I, the use of poison gas in World War I escalates when chlorine gas is released as a chemical weapon in the Second Battle of Ypres. 1930, the UK, Japan, and US signed the London Naval Treaty, regulating submarine warfare and limiting shipbuilding. 1944, the first Air Commando Group using Sikorsky R-4 helicopters staged the first use of helicopters in combat with combat search and rescue operations in the China-Burma-India theater. 1944, World War II, Operation Persecution is initiated. Allied forces land in the Hollandia, currently known as the Jayapura area of New Guinea. Also in 44, World War II, in Greenland, the Allied Sledge Patrol attacked the German Bassgeiger weather station. 1945, World War II, prisoners at the Jasenovac concentration camp revolt. 520 are killed and around 80 escape. 1948, Arab-Israeli War. Port city of Haifa is captured by Jewish troops. 1951, Korean War. Chinese People's Volunteer Army began assaulting positions defended by the Royal Australian Regiment and the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry at the Battle of Kapyong. 1954, the Red Scare. Witnesses begin testifying, and there's live TV coverage of the Army-McCarthy hearings. Begins on this date. McCarthy was positive there were communists in the Army. The very idea. 1969, British yachtsman Sir Robin Knox Johnston wins the Sunday Times Golden Globe race and completes the first solo non-stop circumnavigation of the world. 1969, the formation of the Communist Party of India is announced at a mass rally in Calcutta. It was a Marxist-Leninist party. 1970, the first Earth Day is celebrated on this date. 1974, Pan Am Flight 812 crashes on approach to Ngurah Rai International Airport in Denpasar, Bali, in Indonesia, killing all 107 people on board. 1977, optical fibers first used to carry live telephone traffic. 1992, a series of gas explosions ripped through the streets of Guadalajara, Mexico, kills 206. 1993, 18-year-old Stephen Lawrence is murdered in a racially motivated attack while waiting for a bus in Wellhall, Eltham. 2005, Japan's Prime Minister, Junichiro Koizumi, apologizes for Japan's war record. 2016, the Paris Agreement is signed, an agreement to help fight global warming. Oh, please. All these agreements and all the speeches going on today about global warming by all these stars who are flying around in their private jets to make the speeches, that's really helping, let me tell you. And in 2020, four police officers are killed after being struck by a truck on the Eastern Freeway in Melbourne while speaking to a speeding driver. Marks the largest loss of police lives in Victoria Police history. Well, a lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Septimus of Oneida and Companions in the Catholic Church. Arwald, Epipodius and Alexander. Hudson Stuck in the Episcopal Church. John Muir in the Episcopal Church. Opportuna of Montreal, Pope Caius, Pope Soter, Saint Signorina, Fighter Aviation Day in Brazil. Also in Brazil is Discovery Day. It's Earth Day internationally. As a related observance, International Mother Earth Day. Holocaust Remembrance Day in Serbia. And from 2018 on, there's a national day of commemoration for the murdered teenager Stephen Lawrence in the UK. Let's see what else we have in the way of events. It's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Okay, that's not it. Maybe that is it. 1509, Henry VIII ascended to the throne of England when his father died. 1745, the Peace of Fussen was signed, restoring the status quo of Germany. 1792, President George Washington proclaimed American neutrality in the war in Europe. This day in 1861, Robert E. Lee was named commander of Virginia forces. 1898, the first shot of the Spanish-American War occurred when the USS Nashville captured a Spanish merchant ship. 1915, New York Yankees wore pinstripes and the hat and a ring logo for the first time. 1918, British naval forces attempted to sink block ships in the German U-boat bases at the Battle of Zeebrugge. 1931, Egypt signed the Treaty of Friendship with Iraq. 1931, James Ray landed an autogyro on the lawn of the White House. 1976, Barbara Walter became the first female nightly network news anchor. 1987, the Americans Psychical Society said the Star Wars missile system was highly questionable and would take 10 years to research. Wrong. In 1993, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum was dedicated in Washington, D.C. 1997, in Lima, Peru, government commandos storm and capture the residence of the Japanese ambassador, ending a 126-day hostage crisis. 71 hostages were saved. One hostage died of a heart attack. Two soldiers were killed, and all 14 rebels. 1999, the Watson family got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. In 2000, ABC TV aired a small portion of the Clinton-DiCaprio interview. And of all those so-called stars who really annoy me with their holier-than-thou attitude, Leonardo DiCaprio was one of them. 2002, Filipino President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo ordered a state of emergency in the city of General Santos in response to a series of bombing attacks the day before. They were blamed on Muslim extremists. 2010, the Boeing X-37 began its first orbital mission. It successfully returned to Earth December 3rd, 2010. Alrighty, let's see what else we might have. In 296, St. Gaius ended his reign as Catholic Pope. 536, St. Agapetus I ends his reign as Catholic Pope. In 1056, the supernova Crab Nebula is last seen by the naked eye. 1073, Pope Alexander II is buried, and Ildebrando is chosen as Pope Gregory VII. 1164, Reynaldo Dassel names Guido di Crema as anti-Pope Paschalis III. 1370 saw the beginning of the building of the steel fortress in Paris. 1521, French King Francois I declared war on Spain. 1526 saw the first slave revolt in North America. It took place at San Miguel de Guarapi, a Spanish settlement that's now part of South Carolina. 1648, the English army claims King Charles I is responsible for all the bloodshed. 1659, Lord Protector Richard Cromwell disbands English Parliament. 1671, King Charles II sat in on the English Parliament. 1674, Netherlands and Munster signed the peace treaty. 1676, the Battle of Etna. Netherlands and Spain versus France. Monsieur de Ruyter is fatally wounded in this battle. 1677, Battle at Catania between the French and the Dutch fleets took place. 1692, Edward Bishop is jailed for proposing flogging as a cure for witchcraft in Salem, Massachusetts. 1769, Madame du Barry becomes French King Louis XV's official mistress. Got a card and everything. 1817, Curacao prohibits the use of white paint due to the sunlight. 1823, the Baltic Club forms in London. 1823, R.J. Tyers patents the roller skates. 1838, the English steamship Sirius docks in New York City after crossing the Atlantic. That was the first transatlantic steam passenger service. 1864, the U.S. Mint issued 2-cent coins, the first ones to carry In God We Trust. 1871, all German Jews were emancipated after the German Constitution adopted by its last state of Bavaria. 1884, Thomas Stevens started the first bike trip around the world. 2 years and 9 months. 1884, the U.S. recognizes King Leopold II's Congo Free State. 1889, the land rush I spoke about, that was 1.9 million acres of Indian territory open for white colonial settlement in Oklahoma. The land rush started at noon. 1893, Francis Dönitz's army occupies Dasongo. 1893, Paul Kruger elected president of Transvaal for the third time. Transvaal was also known as the South African Republic. 1897, New York City Jewish newspaper Forward begins publishing. It is still an active newspaper. 1898, Congress passes the Volunteer Army Act, calling for a volunteer cavalry. Also in 98, President McKinley ordered the blockade of all Cuban harbors. 1903, the American Powerboat Association was formed. 1906, a new rule puts the umpire in sole charge of all game balls. 1913, Montenegro troops march into Skolatari in North Albania. 1916, France battles at Fort Douaumont. 1916, Colonel Spindler scuttles the Aude near Daunt's Rock to prevent its cargo of 20,000 rifles destined for Irish Republicans from falling into enemy hands. 1924, the Hague Chambers of Commerce form. 1926, Persia, Turkey, and Afghanistan sign treaties of security. 1930, British troops battle pro-independence revolutionaries in the Jalalabad Hills near Chittagong in Bengal province of British India. 80 soldiers and 12 revolutionaries die. 1933, Dutch government forbids left-wing radio addresses. 1934, the U.S. Division of Investigation, later would be known as the FBI, under Melvin Purvis, botched an operation to capture John Dillinger gang at the Little Bohemia Lodge in Manitowish Waters, Wisconsin. There are 2 dead and 4 injured when all was said and done. And there is a, supposedly, a large sum of money buried somewhere around the Little Bohemia Lodge. 1937, New York City college students staged the 4th annual peace strike. 1940, Rear Admiral Joseph Taussig testifies before the U.S. Senate Naval Affairs Committee. War with Japan was inevitable. 1943, German counterattack in North Tunisia. Also in 43, the RAF shoots down 14 German transport planes over the Mediterranean. In 1945, when the state, the concentration camp at Sachsenhausen, is liberated. In 1945, in the Battle of Berlin, after being informed that a planned counterattack never happened, Hitler flew into a rage, denounced the German army, and conceded World War II was lost. Also in 45 on this date, SS Chief Heinrich Himmler secretly meets with Count Folke Bernadotte of the Sweden, asking him to act as an intermediary for surrender offer to the Western Allies. Allies don't take the offer seriously. In 1946, the SED party is formed. In 1951, there's a ticker tape parade for General MacArthur in New York City. In 1954, USSR joins UNESCO. In 1961, uprising of French parachutists of General Salin and Chali in Algeria. In 1964, World's Fair at Flushing Meadow Corona Park in New York opens up. In 1969, the first human eye transplant took place. Bernadette Devlin, the youngest woman ever to be elected to Westminster, that's Parliament, by the way, makes a controversial maiden speech in the House of Commons concerning the situation in Northern Ireland. 1970, the first Earth Day was celebrated. It was founded by Gaylord Nelson. 1971, Soviet spaceship Soyuz 10 is launched. It launches as the world's first mission to the first ever space station, the Salyut 1, but the docking was unsuccessful and the cosmonauts came back to Earth. 1972, an 11-year-old boy was killed by a rubber bullet fired by the British Army in Belfast. He was the first person to die from a rubber bullet. 1981, 10,000 copper workers in Chile strike. That same day, almost 1 million West German metal workers go on strike. 1981, more than 3.3 million is stolen from the First National Bank of Arizona in Tucson. It was the largest, up to that point in time, U.S. bank robbery in history. 1983, Stern magazine announces a major historical find. 60-volume personal diaries written by Adolf Hitler. Now, unfortunately, that turned out to be a hoax. Well, on that note, we've come to the end of our history segment. You know, there have been a lot of different hoaxes and that have become major stories. We were talking yesterday about the Foo Fighters. I'm not talking about the band. Interestingly enough, the um, The term Foo Fighter was first used by Allied aircraft pilots during World War II. It was used to describe various UFOs and mysterious oil phenomena seen in the skies over both Europe and the Pacific theaters of operation. And though the Foo Fighter initially described a type of UFO reported and actually named by the U.S. 415th Night Fighter Squadron, the term was commonly used to mean any UFO sighting from that period of time. Now, formally reported, beginning in November 44, witnesses assumed the Foo Fighters were secret weapons employed by the Germans. In fact, the Robertson panel explored possible explanations. They thought maybe they were electrostatic phenomena similar to San Elmo's fire, or electromagnetic phenomena, or simply reflections of light from ice crystals. Now, the word Foo came into popular culture during the 1930s. It was first used by cartoonist Bill Holman, who peppered his Smokey Stover fireman cartoon strips with Foo signs and puns. This term was borrowed from Smokey Stover by a radar operator in the 415th Night Fighter Squadron by the name of Donald Myers. And he gave the Foo Fighters their name. Now, he was from Chicago and was an avid reader of Holman strips, which ran daily in the Chicago Tribune. Smokey Stover's catchphrase was, "Where there's Foo, there's fire." In a mission briefing on the evening of November 27, 1944, Fritz Ringwald, the unit's S2 intelligence officer, stated that Myers and Ed Schulte had sighted a red ball of fire that appeared to chase them through a variety of high-speed maneuvers. According to Fritz, Myers was extremely agitated and had a copy of the comic strip tucked in his back pocket. He pulled it out, slammed it down on Fritz's desk, and yelled it was another one of these effing Foo Fighters and stormed out of the briefing room. And according to Ringwald, because of a lack of a better name, Foo Fighter stuck. It was originally what the men of the 415th started calling these incidents effing Foo Fighters. December 1944, a press correspondent from the Associated Press in Paris by the name of Bob Wilson was sent to the 415th at their base outside of Dijon, France, to investigate the story. At this point in time, so it could be published, the term was cleaned up to just Foo Fighters. Squadron commander, whose name was Captain Harold Osberger, decided to sanitize the term to Foo Fighters in the historical data of the squadron. It's only willfully accepted that the first Foo Fighter sightings occurred in November 44 when pilots flying over Western Europe by night reported seeing fast-moving, round, glowing objects following their aircraft. But the first actual reported sightings happened 2 years before that, on late February 24th, 1942, over Los Angeles, California. This was during the famous Battle of Los Angeles, also called the Great Los Angeles Air Raid, which occurred less than 3 months after the U.S. entered World War II in response to the Imperial Japanese Navy's surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. And one day after the bombardment of Elwood, California, near Santa Barbara on February 23rd. Now, the official version of the Battle of Los Angeles, published in 1949, blamed a meteorological balloon sent aloft at 1 a.m. as the culprit that started all the shooting, and concluded that once the firing started, imagination created all kinds of targets in the sky, and everybody else joined in. 1983, the U.S. Office of Air Force History attributed the event to a case of war nerves triggered by a lost weather balloon and exacerbated by stray flares and shell bursts from adjoining batteries. No detailed description of the orbs that flew over L.A. could be made in 1983. But pilots of the objects were variously described as fiery and glowing red, white, or orange. Some pilots described them as resembling Christmas tree lights and reported that they seemed to toy with the aircraft, making wild turns before simply vanishing. Pilots and air crew
reported the objects flew formation with their aircraft and behaved as if they were under intelligent control, but never displayed any hostile behavior. But they couldn't be outmaneuvered and they couldn't be shot down. In fact, the phenomenon was so widespread the lights earned a name in the European theater of operation. It was called Kraut Fireballs. But for the most part, the name Foo Fighter stuck. Military took the sightings seriously, suspecting the mysterious sightings might be a secret German weapon, but further investigations revealed the German and Japanese pilots were also reporting similar sightings. December 13, 1944. Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force in Paris issued a press release, which was featured in the New York Times the next day, officially describing the phenomena that we know as the Foo Fighter as a new German weapon. Follow-up stories used the term Foo Fighters, and they appeared in the New York Herald Tribune and the British Daily Telegraph. In its January 15, 1945 edition, Time magazine carried a story entitled Foo Fighter, in which it reported the balls of fire had been following United States Army Army Air Force night fighters for over a month, and the pilots had named them Foo Fighters. According to Time magazine, descriptions of the phenomenon varied, but the pilots agreed the mysterious lights followed their aircraft closely at high speed. The balls of fire phenomenon reported from the Pacific theory of operations differed somewhat from the Foo Fighters reported from Europe. In the Pacific, the ball of fire resembled a large burning sphere that just hung in the sky, though it was reported to sometimes follow aircraft. There was speculation the phenomenon could be related to the Japanese fire balloon campaign. As with the European Foo Fighters, no aircraft were reported as being attacked by these balls of fire. Now, the fire balloon campaign was an interesting phenomena. The Japanese launched a series of balloons that had incendiary devices beneath the balloon. They hoped the wind would carry them to the west coast of America, and they would cause major fires. And there were some fires reported, but nothing major, nothing like they had hoped for. Now, the post-war Robinson panel cited Foo Fighter reports, noting their behavior didn't appear to be threatening, and mentioned possible explanations. The panel suggested if the term flying saucers had been popular in 1943 to 45, these things would have been called flying saucers. Now, Foo Fighters were reported on many occasions around the world. September 1941, in the Indian Ocean, there was an event that was similar to some later Foo Fighter reports. From the deck of the SS Pulaski, a Polish merchant vessel transporting British troops, two sailors reported a strange globe glowing with greenish light about half the size of the full moon. They alerted a British officer who watched the movements of the object with them for over an hour. Then Charles Bastian of the 8th Air Force reported one of the first encounters of Foo Fighters over the Belgium-Netherlands area. He described them as two fog lights flying at high rates of speed that could change direction rapidly. During debriefing, his intelligence officer told him two RAF night fighters had reported the same thing, and this story was later reported in British newspapers. Career U.S. Air Force officer Dwayne Adams related he'd witnessed two occurrences of a bright light that paced his aircraft for about half an hour and then rapidly ascended into the sky. Both incidents occurred at night, both over the South Pacific, and both were witnessed by the entire air crew. First sighting occurred shortly after the end of World War II when Adams piloted a B-25 bomber. Second sighting occurred in the early 1960s when he was piloting a KC-135 tanker. Well, at the time, blaming Nazi Germany for being responsible for these flying glowing orbs wasn't too far-fetched. For one thing, the initial sightings took place over Nazi-occupied Europe at a time when Germany's Luftwaffe was making tremendous strides. But the sightings stopped once the German army was defeated. At least, they stopped momentarily. Now, I mentioned the Battle of Los Angeles. According to headline of the Brooklyn Eagle, Los Angeles blast at mystery planes. And two were reported shot down. This is February 25th. Unidentified aircraft swept over the Los Angeles County coast in two waves early on the 25th. This was 1942. Were greeted by a blast of gunfire that continued for nearly 2 hours. Police were investigating a report that an unidentified plane was shot down near 180th Street and Vermont Avenue. It's about 15 miles from the center of the city in the vicinity of Palos Verdes Hills. A desk sergeant in the 77th Street Station informed headquarters he had seen two planes fall from the cone of searchlight beams after the anti-aircraft activity. And a bomb and anti-aircraft shells reported have demolished a garage and an automobile at a residence in the western part of L.A., 15 minutes from downtown Los Angeles. In fact, fragments of debris were driven through the home nearby. Luckily, nobody was injured. Also, during the height of the barrage and while the entire coastline from Santa Monica to San Diego was blacked out, a number of Japanese were arrested on the Venice Pier for signaling with flashlights. Who they were signaling was never discussed, but they were out there signaling to somebody. Searchlights swept the skies and on at least one occasion caught a group of planes directly in their cone over Long Beach. And police who witnessed the episode said they couldn't determine whether any plane was hit by shells that burst all around them. This first flight of mystery planes came in over the coast at a point over Redondo Beach and apparently penetrated about 5 miles in the direction of the Municipal Airport and North American Aviation's plant before cutting to the south and disappearing in the direction of Long Beach. The second wave came in over the Palos Verdes Hills and also swung south and out to sea near Seal Beach. Now, it was assumed that Army aircraft had taken to the air to pursue these unidentified planes. Witnesses told of seeing planes leaving various fields, although reports from Long Beach indicated the squadron base there was merely on the line and alerted. Aircraft first were detected about 2:20 in the morning when a blackout of Los Angeles County was ordered 3 minutes later. San Diego, 125 miles south of Los Angeles, was blacked out at 3:08 a.m. Now, watchers on the rooftop of the United Press Bureau saw at least 30 searchlights sweeping the skies in a wide arc from Manhattan Beach on the west of the Santa Monica Mountains to the north. On the west to the Santa Monica Mountains on the north. The guns fired scores of rounds. Concussions of the shells could be felt in downtown L.A. Gunfire brought the war to the front door of this city of 1,250,000 for the first time. Already it had been placed on alert because of the presence off the coast of a Japanese submarine that had pumped 25 shells into a oil field north of Santa Barbara on Monday night. And because of the submarine, a 3-hour alert was ordered at dusk. On the 24th, the civilian authorities stood at their post while the Army and Navy continued their search for the submersible. That evening's alert ended at 10:23 p.m., but another sounded at 2:22 a.m., and the blackout order followed within 3 minutes. It covered Los Angeles County from Santa Monica to Pomona. 227, all Southern California radio stations went off the air except those in San Diego. The second anti-aircraft barrage followed the course of the first. Appeared to be an effort to locate and blast unidentified planes. It started over the sea and followed a southeasterly course. Now, the second barrage appeared closer to downtown L.A., and since watchers could hear the concussions of the guns more clearly and the flash of bursting shells was brighter, Long Beach police said they saw several planes flying in the cone of light created by the beams of searchlight. They said the shells burst close, but they didn't see any hits. Watchers living near the Long Beach Douglas aircraft plant said windows and buildings shook from the blasting guns, but no shrapnel fell in that area. From the downtown L.A. area, a great semicircle of reddish light could be seen. Light appeared to be coming from the firing guns. The activity was occurring over an area of oil fields, refineries, tanks, and aircraft categories. Douglas has two plants in the vicinity of Santa Monica and El Segundo, in addition to the new blackout Long Beach factory, Inland and North American Aviation, and Vaulty Aircraft. According to a headline on February 26th, the Army was hunting for 15 mystery planes they thought had gone down or landed. Now, on the morning of the 26th, Secretary of the Army, or maybe Secretary, it just says Secretary. I got a lot of newspaper clippings from that period. Said that unidentified airplanes, possibly as many as 15, which may have been operated by enemy agents, were over Los Angeles early the previous day and were fired on by Army anti-aircraft guns. He said this raid, described late in the day by Secretary of the Navy Knox as a false alarm, occurred between 3:12 and 4:15 a.m. Pacific wartime. Anti-aircraft guns of the 37th Coastal Artillery Brigade fired 1,430 rounds of ammunition at the planes, which Stimson told a press conference were officially reported as flying at speeds ranging from very slow to 200 miles an hour and at heights of 9,000 to 18,000 feet. Now, the planes dropped no bombs, according to Stimson. There were no casualties among American troops. None of the planes were shot down, and an American Army or Navy plane was, and no American Army and Navy planes were in action. Well, that does raise questions. Since no bombs were dropped, Stimson said it was possible the planes might have come from commercial sources operated by enemy agents to spread alarm, disclose the location of anti-aircraft gun emplacements, and slow down war operations. Secretary said his information was contained in a report from General George Marshall, Army Chief of Staff, and apparently was based on reports to Marshall from Army officials in California. According to Stimson, it's better to be too alert than not alert enough. Said he had no explanation for the statement that neither Army or Navy planes were in action. He didn't explain what was meant by commercial sources. He said their investigation was continuing. Now, the Army says the alarm was real. And the headline says identity of aircraft is veiled in mystery. No bombs were dropped. No enemy craft were hit. Civilians reported seeing both planes and balloons. And overshadowing a nationwide maelstrom of rumors and conflicting reports, the Army's Western Defense Command yesterday insisted that Los Angeles's early morning blackout and anti-aircraft action were a result of unidentified aircraft sightings over the beach area. In two official statements issued while Secretary of the Navy Knox in Washington was attributing the activity to a false alarm and jittery nerves, the command in San Francisco confirmed and reconfirmed the presence over the Southland of unidentified planes. Now, that does raise interesting questions. Now, the Interceptor Command ordered a blackout when strange aircraft were reported over the coastline. Cities blacked out from 2:25 a.m. to 7:21 a.m. after an earlier yellow alert at 7:18 p.m. was called off at 10:23. Blackout was in effect from there to the Mexican border and inland to the San Joaquin Valley. Now, in spite of the 1,430 anti-aircraft shells fired, no bombs were dropped, no airplanes were shot down, and only two people reported wounded by falling shell fragments. and countless thousands of Southland residents, many of whom are late to work because of the traffic tie-up during the blackout, rubbed their eyes sleepily as they agreed, regardless of the question of how real derelict or alive may have been. It was a great show and well worth losing a few hours sleep. Now, the Army's Western Defense Command in San Francisco issued a noncommittal statement to the effect that there was a blackout in the shooting, that then no bombs were dropped, no planes were shot down. And while military aircraft patrolled the land and sea approaches to the strategic area, authorities pressed their roundup of enemy aliens and other people's activities during the emergency period was questionable. 30 people, 20 of whom were Japanese, were arrested during the night and the early morning. A lot of those folks were on the pier, signaling somebody. Now, in view of the considerable... That's an editorial. I got newspaper clippings coming out my ears on this thing. Now, another story from the Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, dated December 13th, 1944. A new German weapon has made its appearance on the Western Front. Airmen of the American Air Force reported they were encountering silver-colored spears in the air over German territory. They were encountered either singly or in clusters, and they're semi-transparent. In an Associated Press story, dated January 1st, I guess it would be 1945, American Night Fighter Base in France, Germans have thrown something new into the air over Germany. The weird, mysterious Foo Fighter balls of fire that race alongside the wings of American Foo Fighters flying intruder missions over the Reich. American pilots have been encountering the eerie Foo Fighter for more than a month in their night flights. And nobody seems to know exactly what this sky weapon is. These balls of fire appear suddenly and accompany the planes for miles. They appear to be radio controlled from the ground and keep up with planes flying 300 miles an hour. According to Lieutenant Donald Myers of Chicago, there are three types of these lights we call Foo Fighters. One is a red ball of fire that appears off our wingtips and flies along with us. Second is a vertical row of three balls of fire that fly in front of us. And the third is a group of about 15 lights that appear off in the distance, kind of like a Christmas tree up in the sky and flicker on and off. The pilots of this night fighter squadron, in operation since September 1943, find these fiery balls the weirdest thing they've yet encountered. They're convinced the Foo Fighter is designed to be a psychological as well as a military weapon, although it's not the nature of the fireballs to attack planes. So that does raise questions. Well, it was actually a German weapon at all. Now, I've got a copy of a classified message. It's a classified secret from Military Intelligence Division to Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Forces, number WAR 86184, for G2 from Bissell, WDGBI, signed ULIO, plus reports, red balls of fire accompanying planes in flight termed Foo Fighters by air personnel. Desire explanation if available. Well, let me say this about that. If they had one, they would certainly have brought it up. We got another story dated January 7th. Foo Fighters have microscopic doubles. Glowing balls may be small balloons flying in fields of highly charged electricity in the air over Germany. Germany's new Foo Fighters, the mysterious glowing balls that appear alongside American planes over Germany and accompany the flyers for long distances, have a counterpart in recently discovered action of microscopic particles of rubber, latex, and other small objects. The Foo Fighters appear in three formations: a fireball near the tip, a chain of balls riding along just in front of the plane, and a group of a dozen at a distance with the appearance of a Christmas tree. No commonly known electrical phenomena explains its diversity, but all these patterns are shown in a new microscopic work. They're described in Industrial and Engineering Chemistry in an article by Francis Lucas of the Bell Telephone Laboratories. Particles appear in pairs, chains, and groups. They're in rapid motion, due apparently to electrical forces inherent in the liquid in which they're photographed. In all cases, one larger particle, whose bulk might be likened to an airplane, dominates one or more smaller particles. Both attraction and repulsion are present. So there's a scientific side to the Foo Fighters. But I have got all kinds of newspaper articles and magazine articles. Even American Legion magazine, December 30, 1945, discussed the Foo Fighter mystery. According to the American Legion magazine, December 1945, during the last months of the war, the crews of many B-29s over Japan saw what they described as balls of fire that followed them. They occasionally came up and almost sat on their tails, changed color from orange to red to white and back again, but never came in for the attack or suicide-style crash. One B-29 made evasive maneuvers inside a cloud, but when the B-29 emerged from it, the ball of fire was following in the same relative position. It seemed 500 yards off, 3 feet in diameter, and had a fluorescent orange glow. There was no wing of fuselage suggesting an aerial bomb or plane was seen. The ball of fire followed the B-29 for several miles and then disappeared just as mysteriously as it had appeared in the dawn light over Fujiyama. Well, the military commands did everything in their power to determine exactly what these things were, and they never had a resolution of the question. Well, in Amarillo, Texas, there was a story. 12-year-old David Lightfoot said he touched a flying saucer and it sprayed him with a gas that raised red welts on his face and arm. And his story is backed up by his 9-year-old cousin. They were fishing 10 miles northeast of Amarillo. Something like a balloon sailed over their head, landed by on a slight rise. David ran to it, said it was the size of an auto tire, about 18 inches thick, and curved on the bottom with a top looking like a flat plate. The disc was blue, gray, and colored, and red hot otherwise, he said. He said, I dove for it, but my fingers barely touched it. It was slick like a snake and pretty hot. Then the top started spinning faster, made a whistling noise, and took off. As it left the ground, it released a gas or a spray that reddened his arm and face and caused welts. His father applied skin balm, which removed the welts, but the redness remained. So these things were not seen just in the war areas, but at home as well. We got a story that came out of Athens, Greece. Technicolored flying saucers reported at various points in recent weeks recall the Foo Fighters that shadowed U.S. night fighters over Germany during the Battle of the Bulge. Now, the correspondent in question was Edgar Clark, who said he hadn't seen the flying saucers, but he did see the mysterious Foo Fighters several times while flying with the Air Force over the Rhine Valley. There appeared to be red or orange-colored balls that rose suddenly from German territory and trailed American planes until they left the area. Glowing spots first were seen by pilots of night fighters who were trying to spot the location of German artillery by the flash from its guns. And until recently, most flying saucers were described as silvery, almost transparent disc. There appeared to be no connection between them and the true Foo Fighters. Some reports in the last few weeks, though, have described the saucers as being reddish or orange in color, similar in appearance to the unexplained sights seen by the American airmen. Foo Fighters appeared at the height of the Battle of the Bulge with the last round rash of German V and other radar control weapons. Clark had his first experience with them Christmas Eve 1944 in the vicinity of Karlsruhe. They saw a red ball appear on the blacked out ground below them and to their left. In a split second, they watched it take off, gain altitude with tremendous speed, and draw level with their left wing. Because of the darkness, they couldn't judge its distance from them or its actual size. But it took off from the ground, they said. And as the red ball moved along with them, the pilot went into evasive action in an effort to shake it off. They turned, they rolled, they dived, they climbed, but the ball stayed with them. With their unwelcome companion, they continued north for a while and then turned back towards Karlsruhe. In the area where it had first joined them, the red ball disappeared from sight as suddenly as it had appeared, and they went on back to the base alone. Flyers believe the Foo Fighters were German radar-controlled devices and used to track the course of an aircraft. Soon after the appearance of the Foo Fighters, the area where they were observed was overrun by American ground forces. Nothing more was seen or heard of the mysterious red balls. They never did have an official explanation. And on that note, we come to the end of today's show. Until Monday at this same time. Now, y'all have a happy Earth Day. And don't fly your private planes too far. Until Monday, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.